Joe Knows Sports.
It's Joe Smith Reports
on WGCL.
Terry Stultz and John Callahan will have the call of tonight's sectional semifinal action from Columbus as the South Panthers take on the East Central Trojans. Terry checked in this morning with a preview.
East Central, they're 14-9, so they played 23 games. In the 23 games, they've only played six 4A schools. They play in a conference where they play home and home. And everybody in that conference, Batesville's, the Greensburgs, they're all 3A to 2A schools. East Central is a huge school. They've got a lot of kids. They always have decent teams in every sport. They're a good, solid ball team. The South's got to be ready. JR wants to start fast, perhaps turn them over, get the pace up, because they will set back in a zone, and they will take all the time in the world to set their offense up, a lot like Columbus North does, very patient. JR's plan, they want to get up early and then force the tempo.
And getting up early, they usually do that through their senior, Chance Coyle. He's had a fantastic season. When the South Panthers start humming along, does it need to be Coyle that gets them off to that start you're talking about, Terry, or can it come from Noah Jager's defense or Anthony Leal knocking down shots? The South has multiple ways to get after you.
All of the above, and I think the main thing, South's defensive pressure, which all starts with Noah Jager on the point guard, he wreaks havoc. And to answer your question, he's going to start it. Also, Chance Coyle's an excellent defensive player. The thing about South is if they get a turnover and take off, then everybody on the floor can score for them.
The Panthers are balanced on both offense and defense. Our coverage of sectional action starts tonight, 7 p.m. from Columbus. Pinch hitting for Joe Smith, I'm Mike Glasscock.
Joe Knows Sports.
It's Joe Smith Reports
on WGCL.
Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star joined me this morning as we reviewed Indiana's elimination from the Big Ten tournament, falling to Rutgers 76-69.
Yeah, I think it was a flawed team. I don't think that would, you know, that's hardly a galloping shock to anybody if you say that. I think it was a team that found a way to mask a lot of its flaws at various different points. I think it's a team that got better. I don't think you can deny that, whether you talk about individuals or you talk about the collective. But I also think it's a team that, like a lot of flawed teams, eventually just couldn't outrun those flaws. And I know that fans are going to be disappointed at the manner of defeat last night, and I'm not saying it was only a matter of time, because I would have picked Indiana to beat Rutgers as well. But I also think that at a certain point, every team reaches kind of the end of its rope, and I think this one pretty much had.
Indiana struggled to shoot the basketball all season long from the three-point line, and last night was not the exception to that rule.
Statistically speaking, you know, this is one of the poorest three-point shooting teams. I'd have to go back and look at where the final numbers fell out, but this is one of the poorest three-point shooting teams in Indiana in basketball history. People have to remember how big a part of modern basketball the three-point shot has become, how important the court spacing it gives you has become, how much else it opens up offensively, whether in transition or in the half court. And this team could just never find its range. This team lacked maybe having those one or two players that were consistently able to find a big shot when it needed it most, like last night.
Indiana blew a 16-point first-half lead to trail 29-28 at halftime and never regained the lead. Indiana's season most likely is over unless the NIT comes calling next week. Pinch hitting for Joe Smith, I'm Mike Glasscock.